House Committee on Agriculture and Natural Resources for the lovely day of April 15th, 2003, and that's a day of significance in our lives, at least those of us who file. Yes, Representative?
Well, I'm just trying to remember what it is I'm supposed to do on April 15th.
Pay. Well, it's one of the inevitable things in life, just like death.
You probably don't have to worry about it. Remember, us legislators don't make enough to have to worry.
Okay, again, welcome to all of in the audience. We are you didn't have to do that, Ray. We are glad to have you all here. It's a private joke, folks.
It is?
We do have, as normal, some amendments to our agenda for the day. And they are, we are not going to hear House Bill 3132. So if you are here for that, don't bother.
Oh, my favorite.
Yes, I know. We have some other bills that we may not hear also. We're actually sort of working through that process as we speak, as a matter of fact. But one bill that we are going to hear and get started with very shortly, as soon as I give my standard spiel, and that is over on the table we have sign-in sheets. And on those sign-in sheets there are an acknowledgement that if you are a government official and or a lobbyist, that your testimony must be truthful and accurate. If you are here from the general public, that does not apply to you. Obviously, we still want your testimony.
Lie all you want it.
No, you can't lie, and it still has to be truthful and accurate any way you look at it.
Okay.
So, having said that, we're going to open up a work session. Excuse me. Ray, we need to, I believe, suspend the rules.
Yes, in order to do what the committee has planned, Mr. Chair, somebody on the prevailing side, which is everybody except for Representative Nelson.
Because Representative Nelson was excused.
That's correct. Needs to make a motion to suspend the rules for the purpose of reconsidering House Bill 2915.
I move we suspend the rules so we can reconsider 2915.
Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. The chair would entertain a motion to rescind the referral to Ways and Means of House Bill 2915.
Mr. Chair, I'd be happy to move that we rescind the subsequent referral to Ways and Means of House Bill 2915.
Members, any discussion? Hearing none, any objection? So ordered. The chair would entertain a motion to pass out House Bill 2915 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Mr. Chair, I move we pass. I can't.
Yeah.
I can now?
You can, yes.
All right. Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2915 to the House floor with a due pass recommendation.
Very good. And members, would we like to put this on the consent calendar also?
Such a nice one, yes.
All right, we'll make that part of the motion. Any discussion? Any objections? So ordered. We'll close the work session on House Bill 2915. And the carrier is...
If it's going to be
the carrier is...
Oh, that's right.
So it will read consent, Mr. Chair.
No matter how long I'm at this, I still make that mistake. Okay. All right, we're going to... open up a public hearing, excuse me, a work session on House Bill 2344. Ray, we've got some amendments to this bill, I believe, which is my bill, as a matter of fact.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we do have dash one amendments to House Bill 2344.
And you also have dash two amendments, as in right now. So we need to make copies and pass them out to the
Of course, Mr. Chair, we also have dash two amendments, and staff is going to go make copies of those directly.
And the chair would like to call Ted Lawrenson, if you'd come forward. You have them?
Yes.
Okay. Would you be sure to furnish a copy to the good Mr. Lawrenson? Right here.
Here.
That'll work. Members, what I've done is drafted an amendment to clarify what we're trying to accomplish with this particular piece of legislation. If you remember, we heard this some time ago. This was brought forward by myself and Representative Jensen. It's in regards to state agencies that have purview over state forest lands, each one of them developing a policy of beginning the process of timber recovery and ecosystem restoration shortly after a fire. And the reason I have Mr. Lawrenson here is because he graciously provided me and worked with me on some language adjustments in the Dash 2s, and even though he hasn't seen them until this moment, he's smiling, so I'm assuming that is a good thing. Yes. All right. For the record, Ted.
Ted Lawrenson, Assistant State Forester with the Oregon Department of Forestry. Hard for us to argue against this. We think it's important that state agencies do make effective use of state resources, particularly in the context of wildfire. We think that this sets the right policy tone in terms of promoting rapid effort to begin that process, and we can certainly support the language in this amendment.
And if you notice, members, we added in some language, being a little more broad in terms of talking about restoring and recovering forest lands burnt by fire for the social and economic and environmental values are not lost due to delay. And then we also put forward language that Department of Administrative Services may assist the state agencies in developing contracts and other procedures to expedite those restoration and recovery projects. And it also takes place, there's an emergency clause there. This will be coming into an effect as soon as the governor signs it into law, so that we will at least have some advance work done on this, assuming that we have another fire season this year. And sadly, it's... No.
Yeah, we're going to rain.
Yes, it's going to rain. Well, now, wait a moment. For us farmers, that doesn't work very well. So that's basically the concept. Any questions of Mr. Lawrenson? Okay, hearing none. Thank you, Ted. Since I've asked Mr. Lawrenson to come forward, is there anyone else in the audience who would like to be invited by the chair to testify? Hearing, Bill? The chair would like to invite Bill Cluding to come forward at this time. Welcome, Bill, and for the record, state your name.
Thank you, Chair Koff. Committee, for the record, my name is Bill Cluding, Western Council of Industrial Workers. I represent over 4,000 lumber, forestry, and mill workers in Oregon. I'm here today to speak in favor of House Bill 2344 as amended. This bill will help return a forest destroyed by fire to a healthy landscape again. First, by carefully removing usable burnt timber, if entirely possible, use helicopters.
All right.
And then replanting native plant species to stop erosion and protect valuable watersheds. Then replanting the burnt lands with a native tree species. The burnt timber's salvage could keep a mill running, people working, and return monies to our state budgets. I see this also setting a good example for the federal agencies when they are dealing with burnt federal forest lands. Some forest fires we cannot prevent happening, but when they do occur, House Bill 2344 can be the jump start to return said lands back to a healthy ecosystem. Thank you.
Bill, thank you. Questions? Thanks, Bill. Appreciate your support. And with that, we're going to continue in work session. The chair would entertain a motion.
Chair.
Representative Smith.
I'll move the Dash 2 amendments to House Bill 2344.
Members, it has been moved the amendments Dash 2 to House Bill 2344. Any discussion? Hearing none, any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Smith?
Is there a referral on this?
There is not.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I'll move House Bill 2344 as amended to the floor with a Dukas recommendation.
Members, any discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. House Bill 2344 is hereby moved to the full House with a due pass recommendation as amended. The Chair and Representative Jensen will be co-carriers. We're going to close the work session on House Bill 2344. They did, didn't they?
Okay.
All righty. Chair would like to open a work session on House Bill 3152. Ray, do we have amendments?
Mr. Chair, I am not aware of amendments to this measure.
Which one?
3152.
There's dash
one. Okay.
Representative Beyer has amendments.
Wonderful.
I'm sitting at my desk. I'm
okay. Yes, it appears we do have the dash one amendments. Okay, who is here today to work with us on this? Andy High, come forward if you would, please. Welcome, Andy. We have some substantial amendments to this bill, which we heard before. And what's the effect of your amendments?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Andy High from the House Majority Office. We changed the amendments. We had some concern. We amended it. We had some concerns from the Audubon Society and Department of Forestry. We worked with implementing policies for healthy forest within to avoid those catastrophic fires during the summer that each agency that either manages or oversees forest land through the help of Department of Administrative Services will have policies in place to hopefully eliminate the number of catastrophic fires and have the policies in place for stewardship, or not stewardships, but carrying those out. So we removed stewardships from that. We felt that the agencies can probably find easier ways, and a lot already have ways to steward those, but we want to get those in place. And we also removed the concerns that the Justice Department previously had on the measure.
Okay, hang on. Andy, do you have anybody opposing the bill?
With the changes, I don't know any of, Mr. Chair.
Okay, members, any questions to Andy on the bill? Okay. Oh, yes, Representative Beyer.
We had a letter before with the Audubon Society having concerns. Have they seen the amendments and they're fine?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Representative Beyer, they have seen the amendments, and I was chatting with them just a few minutes ago. They seem to be okay with the amendment, the dash one.
Thank you.
Okay, any further questions? Thank you, Andy. Great. Is there anyone else here that would like to be invited by the chair to testify on this bill? Bill, come forward.
Thank you, Chair Croft. Committee, for the record, my name is Bill Cluding. I represent the Western Council of Industrial Workers. I'm here to speak in favor of House Bill 3152 as amended. I see this as a long-term program. It almost mirrors our quality jobs, House Bill 2683. I see steady employment in the rural areas that need some steady employment, working in one of our greatest natural resources, our forests.
And also, using the state forest plan, these will be, these work crews can be trained to follow the Oregon plan and hopefully create more jobs in our federal forest when the federal programs come online. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Members, questions? Good comments, and I think it really strikes to the heart of the whole issue. Appreciate that. All righty. We're going to, at this time, entertain a motion.
Chair.
It's in Smith.
I'll move the Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 3152.
Members, the Dash 1 amendments are moved by Representative Smith to House Bill 3152. Any discussion? Mm-hmm. Hearing none, is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Smith.
Does this have a referral?
Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, it does not.
Okay. I would like to make a motion to move House Bill 3152 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Members, it's been moved as amended with a due pass to the floor. Any discussion? I want to commend the Speaker's office for bringing this bill forward. I think it is a very good statement that we're making within policy that this is an important direction for us as a state. And my only hope is that the federal government will also embrace these policies because I think they're sound as they go. So, any objection? Hearing none? So ordered. House Bill 3152 is hereby passed to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation. And, Andy, does the Speaker want to carry this bill?
Majority Leader.
Majority Leader Canope will carry the bill. And with that, we're going to close the work session on House Bill 3152, and we are going to stand at ease for a few moments. Okay. Okay, we're reconvened. Thank you all for your patience. We're going to open up a work session on House Bill 3264. I think we have this listed as a possible work session. And let's go ahead and bring the sheet forward. Thank you, David. Ted, Lawrence, come forward if you would, please. And why don't we have Ian, if you'd come forward since you're...
And actually, I have another staff.
Oh, you do? Okay. Yeah. Well, just whoever's going to come forward from the departments is fine.
In case I say something wrong, I could hit me.
Welcome to you all.
Chair Krupp, members of the committee, I'm Ted Lawrence, an Assistant State Forester of the Oregon Department of Forestry. I have with me today Lanny Quackenbush, who's the Policy Unit Manager for the Forest Practices Program, and Ian Whitlock with the Department of Justice, who's our General Counsel. This bill is in response to a citizen's lawsuit brought under the Federal Endangered Species Act against the state forester. I provided background on the written testimony on the lawsuit and won't cover that. But basically, the issue here is the concept that prior approval of written plans puts the forester at risk of litigation. Okay. And the lawsuit alleges that this approval of written plans, if not for that, there wouldn't be an alleged take. And there's an effort to enjoin the state forester from making these approvals. We have addressed part of this issue by administrative rule change. There are three cases where this suit alleges a possible take, and the first case deals with landslides. And that area of approval is under administrative rule, and we've addressed that issue by changing our administrative rule to eliminate the prior approval written plan process under that. The remaining two categories of issue deal with small and medium streams used by coho salmon and small non-fish use streams used by coho salmon. There are not any written plan requirements for non-fish use streams, but there are written plan requirements for small and medium fish use streams that are statutory. And this bill would remove not the requirement to have a written plan, but the requirement of the state forester to approve a written plan as a condition of the operation. In essence, it would maintain the written plan as a communication tool, but it wouldn't require the active approval of the written plan as a condition of the operation. We think that this is an important policy issue. Basically, the plaintiff's argument presents us with a fundamental choice. If we do have approvals under their argument, that then puts us in an obligation to do it in a way that won't result in a take of listed species. And in our opinion, that co-opts state regulatory programs to do the bidding of the federal ESA, which was never intended either by the legislature in terms of developing the Forest Practices Act or Congress in terms of the federal ESA. There are substantial implications of this case that are very broad, but in our particular case, we think that this is a good solution because it takes away the causal mechanism. That's the basis for the lawsuit. There are fiscal implications as well. Certainly this action may reduce our legal exposure, and the current lawsuit has been costly to the department. The costs have exceeded our budgetary amount for legal expenditures by a substantial margin. Therefore, we've actually had to modify program resources and eliminate some of the on-the-field work that we'd prefer to be doing. Also, we think that given the effectiveness of the Oregon Forest Practices Act now and the ability of operators and landowners to do well under the Act and through our emphasis on training and cooperation, that this will also really result in some level of administrative efficiency as well, to where we can really focus on those written plans in terms of consultation where it's really important to do so, but where it's just a matter of due process, we wouldn't have to focus much attention on that, whereas now we have to go through actual process of approving or denial of a written plan, so it gives us more discretion. Probably the bottom line point is This particular bill would maintain the current level of protection. It would maintain the current level of collaboration, cooperation with operators and landowners that really are the hallmark of the Forest Practices Act in terms of its effectiveness, but it does address the particular legal exposure that we have in, we think, a relatively effective way. There are some amendments that we propose that are attached, and we'd offer those for your consideration. We think that those clarify the bill and some degree take the proposed concept a little further in terms of eliminating the written plan requirement for Type 3 harvest units. It would still retain prior approval, but it would eliminate that particular process of having a written plan, which we also think is an administrative efficiency. With that, I'll close and be happy to answer any questions.
Members, questions? Further thoughts from your compatriots there?
You guys want to clean up after me?
No, I think Ted stated the purpose of the bill very well.
Okay, so you're confident that these amendments do what you wanted to do. Do you have any known opposition to this bill?
Chair Krupp, members of the committee, yes, obviously the plaintiffs would be very concerned about this, and I have seen testimony from them that was draft, and it wasn't in favor of the bill, I could say that much.
Okay, members, anything additional?
Mr. Chair, we have a letter. Do you have a copy of that letter?
I have a copy of something was faxed to me by the Pacific Rivers Council.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if there's nothing further, thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to be invited by the chair to discuss this issue further? Hearing none, we're going to close a public hearing on House Bill 3264, and the chair will be submitting amendments that are proposed immediately to Legislative Council. All righty. Let me update you on the rest of the schedule here for the rest of the day. We are not going to hear House Bill 3075. We are not going to hear House Bill 3125. We are going to hear two more bills, House Bill 3126, in work session. We understand we have modifications of that. And we will also work House Bill 2574 also. Since we have Representative Greg Smith here, the sponsor of House Bill 3126, would you come forward, please? Welcome, Representative.
Good afternoon, Chair. Good afternoon, Chair. May I bring up with me Mr. Glenn?
You certainly may.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Welcome. You want to tell us what your amendments do on the bill that we heard the other day?
Sure, Chair Krupp. For the record, I'm State Representative Greg Smith representing District 57. What I'm bringing forward to the committee today are the proposed amendments to House Bill 3126. You know, this has been a very controversial issue, and there's been a lot of folks who have raise their eyebrows, and so what we've decided to do is just step back and say, what is the real issue? How do we solve this problem in a manner that can work for everyone? And what we bring forward to you today is what we believe is that solution. Let me go through, if it's okay, Chair, House Bill 3126. What the amendments brought forward to you say is that...
And Greg, excuse me, these are the dash ones?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Correct.
Please proceed.
Yeah. It basically says that no person shall take, pursuant to the subsection, at a time or under circumstance when such taking is prohibited by the State Fish and Wildlife Commission, any game, mammal, or game bird, fur-bearing mammal, or non-game wildlife species, unless the person first obtains a permit for taking from the commission. So first and foremost, the gray wolf would be under the care and the direction of the Fish and Wildlife Commission. However, with that said, there's two amendments to that. One is, in the event that a gray wolf was damaging land or livestock, or if it was exhibiting predatory attributes towards a person. And by predatory attributes, if you turn to the final page, you can see what that means. Refers to aggressive action directed towards a person or persons, including but not limited to charging, false charging, growling, teeth popping, and snarling, breaking into or attempting to break into a residence, attacking a pet or a domestic animal, or loss of wariness to humans displayed through repeated sightings. If a person exhibited a gray wolf on their property who was exhibiting any of those attributes, this amendment would allow them to take the gray wolf. Upon the taking, however, we put in another set of circumstances that we again believe is just common sense, and that is upon the taking, the Department of State Police and the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife shall be immediately notified, and that the carcass shall be disposed of in such a manner as the commission directs, and that within 30 days of the disposal, current state law would be followed, and that is a report shall be compiled by the director and available to the public upon their request. We believe that this is a common sense amendment that truly, truly tries to reach a compromise with all parties involved. The fact of the matter is the gray wolf is going to come into Oregon. The fact of the matter is they're going to breed in Oregon. And the fact of the matter is they are going to come into human contact. And so what this bill does, it would allow a common sense approach, we believe, to solve that problem. Thank you, Chair.
Glenn, your thoughts?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Glenn Stonebrink with the Oregon Cattlemen Association. We've looked at this amendment. We like it because it tends to mirror what the Federal Endangered Species Act does. As you know, recently they were downlisted from endangered to threatened, so that if a wolf is you know, killing your livestock, you can protect your property. I call this amendment, I just nicknamed it up here, that wolves equal humans, or maybe I should say humans equal wolves, because basically, as I've testified before on wolf issues, that the wolf has more protection when it damages your property or threatens human life than if there's another human being. And this, I really believe, puts wolves and humans more on the same level as far. In other words, what I'm getting at is if someone were standing out in my pasture shooting my cattle and I saw them and I said to them, hey, stop shooting my cows, and he told me where to go, I might get a rifle and the only means that I could stop him would be to shoot him. At least in court I could defend myself. Or if the person were threatening my family and I shot them because they were threatening the safety of my family, I would have defense in court. Under the Endangered Species Act, that's not a legal defense unless we pass something like this. So to me, the main parts are on the front page, lines 6 and 7, and it says, any wildlife that is damaging land and or land that the person owns or lawfully occupies or is damaging livestock. And I underline damaging because the burden of proof is still on the landowner, the person who would shoot the wolf. You couldn't just go hunting wolves for the sport of hunting wolves because the burden of proof is, I have to say, that they're damaging. So I'm going to have some way to prove that. You know, video camera, tracks, actual carcasses or something to make that burden of proof. And then on the next page, that if one of our ranchers were to do this, that you can't just do it and walk away. You have to immediately then report to the state police and the Department of Fish and Wildlife, which would automatically, I'll guarantee you, would because it's a, under that section we're talking about now, it's an endangered species, which the wolf is, then that would automatically trigger a burden of proof by the landowner. So it's not going to be a bill that anybody could any way, shape, or form construe it as let's go hunting wolves type bill. That I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, and the report has to be filed within 30 days, correct?
Correct.
After disposal. And the disposal has to be in under the terms that the Wildlife Commission would set.
That's correct.
Okay. Sure.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
You said 30 days after report. I thought it said immediately.
I'm looking at page 2, line 25.
That's existing statute.
The disposal of the animal shall be filed a report. But that's dealing with disposal of the animal. At the top of the page on line 4,
mm-hmm.
say, actually on line 1 of page 2, any person who takes, okay, pursuant to this bill. And then on line
4
it says shall immediately report. So you, I didn't want that to be misconstrued that we have 30 days to report. We have to immediately report.
Okay, because I'm my apologies.
Yeah,
I read that incorrectly. It says any regional office of ODFNW has to report to the director within 30 days.
Thank you for that clarification.
But the individual who actually accomplishes the take has to immediately report the take and dispose in a manner acceptable. Okay. Members, questions? Yes. Yes, Representative.
Under on page 4, line 14, where Representative Smith had gone through the elements defining threat to human safety, A, B, and C are very clear to me. Could you talk a little bit more about what exactly D means, loss of wariness to humans? Is that maybe just help me understand better what that means?
Sure, Chair Krupp, Representative Hunt. The way this has been explained to me by constituents in Wallowa County is this would be a predatory animal that is continuing to just circle around the outskirts of property or perhaps is walking through the property and upon the sighting of the human or the trying to shoo away of the animal isn't leaving, just continues to walk around the property, an animal that's not afraid of humans. I think one other key point, Chair, is the fact that if you read Section 2 on page 3, that no person shall take, import, export, transport, purchase, or sell, or attempt to take, import, export, transport, purchase, or sell of any threatened species or endangered species. Once again, we've truly tried to wrap our arms around this issue and say we're trying to protect livestock and humans. And like Mr. Stonebrink said, this isn't, we want to make sure there's no perception that this is citizens out there hunting wolves trying to make a profit off of it, because that's truly not the intent.
Well, I appreciate you clarifying that for the record, Representative. I think that's an important a distinction to be made. So let me just summarize your amendments here as I see them. Basically, this brings the Oregon Endangered Species Act in harmony with the Federal and D.C. Species Act in regards to this issue of take for specific reasons where life safety is threatened or those issues that you have elicited here. And in your mind, it also creates a legal defense. In that currently there's this inequity, as I read it in the law, that, and I think, Glenn, you said this, I think it's a poignant point rather to make, is that wolves currently have more protections than human beings do, which I find most interesting. So any further questions, members? Representative Byer, Nelson?
Mr. Chair. I'm not sure I caught up with y'all. We're on in the amendment one, right?
Dash
one?
Dash one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then on page four, we're talking about definitions of structures.
It's line number four.
Mm-hmm. I can't follow the reading of this amendment. Something's missing.
Mr. Chair, if I may.
Ray, go ahead.
Representative Nelson, in the context of the definition of structure here, what it's speaking to is if the predatory animal comes towards a structure. If you cross-reference it with sub D on line 14, where it talks about loss of wariness to humans, part of that definition is the animal going near a permanent structure. Sub 4A defines what that permanent structure is.
A home, a corral.
Well, I just want to bring everybody's attention, excuse me, Mr. Chair, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Sure.
To the fact that we talked about these wolves in schools, and we're talking residences here, and I don't know why. And we're, you know, I don't know why we're just in the residence business versus any facility where humans are employed or occupied or whatever the purpose is. So I just think we ought to have the right to protect our kids and the right to protect our employees and right to, you know, whether you're at a working out at a nursery or a tree farm or so I'm just wondered if they meant to do that or it says a building located on land actively used for agriculture way up at four.
Right.
Timber management, ranching or construction purposes or a building used as part of a business. And then you go down to B and it's a residence. And I'm just wondering where we find educational facilities, and because we talked about how serious that was in the wolves, cougars and wolves stalking the kids at the schools. So I just want to be sure that we can protect. I think they left out a statement. I wish we had that other bill. Somewhere we left out a statement to be able to protect.
Representative Smith, would you like to respond?
Yeah, sure. Representative Nelson, what we did was took the existing language and tried to make this as simple as possible to make this bill palatable to as many folks as possible, seeing this as perhaps the best chance we have to get our arms around this issue. Are there areas I'd like to add? Most definitely. But for our purposes, this is probably as good as we were able going to be able to get.
But I would hope, Mr. Chair, and Representative Smith, and Mr. Stonebrink, I would hope that we ask for an amendment somewhere to include events where people, events where groups of people are congregated for the purpose of whatever it be, social occasion, education, something other than a residence, because we clearly need to protect. It can be camps. I think of this, all the many, many camps, Boy Scout camps and all those that I've looked after for years and years and that are at risk, campgrounds. So if I'm missing that, well,
Representative, that brings up an interesting point, and I'm sure that Representative Smith would be happy to address that because it is a good point. Over on the Senate side, I think would be a good place to do that. In fact,
I think it's
probably
really important.
Would be a helpful hint for that over there. It's a good point, actually.
Very good.
Additional comments, questions?
I would just like to make a comment on that, Mr. Chair. It says structure includes. It doesn't preclude any other structure. So.
Or is that Representative Smith?
Same.
Excuse me?
On line 4, page 4, structure includes. It doesn't mean it's inclusive of that. That's the way I'm reading it. So I think they were trying to just make it palatable, like you said, for where they really are. So thank you.
Thank you.
If I may, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I think if you look down on page 4, look at line 9, or actually line 7, the threat to human safety, okay? And so we've moved away from the structure part, and that's any time, in this case we're talking about wolves,
exhibit the following behaviors, and on line 9, aggressive action. So if you had an outing that had nothing to do with the structure, a group of people, that definitely would cover it there.
It would. Well, mm-hmm. Clearly.
I think we're covered from previous.
Well, let's just be covered. Okay.
Being covered is good. All right.
Covered is good.
Thank you very much. Any additional questions, members? Okay. Appreciate it, gentlemen. Anyone else here would be like to be invited by the chair to testify? Hearing none. A representative? Yeah.
I don't want to testify.
Oh, okay. Well, you're welcome to.
I guess I just had a question. We had received some testimony from the department about the base bill. I guess I'm just wondering
how this changes their feelings.
Exactly. So I don't know. I don't put them on the spot. But I don't
why,
know
what else to do. Why doesn't the department and ODA come forward, both of you, just answer that question for us? Good point.
Thank you, Chair Krupp, members of the committee. For the record, Ron Anglin, Wildlife Division Administrator with ODFW. We have not had a chance to review the amendment yet, so it would be pretty difficult for us to tell you exactly our interpretation of it and what it would or would not do. In listening to the testimony by Representative Smith and Mr. Stonebrink and comparing it to some of our current statutes, it appears to mirror pretty closely what we have for the Bear Cougar Human Safety. How it ties back into the ESA without looking at the amendment, it'd be difficult for us to provide you with that information.
So maybe just to follow up, and one of the things, and I'm sorry we're kind of unfairly putting you on the spot here, but it's the curse of the legislative calendar. And one of the things from your previous testimony, you talked about the difficulty and cost of implementation. Do you have any other further reflections? Do the dash ones help with that, not address that?
Chair Krupp, Representative Hunt, I don't think that it would really change for us any costs associated with implementation. If, as the amendment, as I understood the amendment, and it's pretty straightforward, dovetails in with some of our current existing laws, then in some ways it could simplify things in that it doesn't require action to be taken by the federal government or by agents of the state. So I don't know that there would be an actual increase in cost because of the amendment. It might actually simplify things. But again, how it all ties together, we're not sure at this point.
Okay, so basically in the amendment, gentlemen and colleagues, it looks like we're deleting, looks like we're pretty much gutting and stuffing this bill, as I see it. We're deleting all of the bolded language on the front page and deleting pages 2 through 4 as I read the amendment and adding this back in. What I want to do is we're going to stand at ease for a couple of minutes and let these two gentlemen have a chance to see the amendment, and then the chair would like to reconvene, get their final thoughts, and go ahead and work the bill through the process. So we're just going to stand at ease for a couple of minutes. Representative Smith.
Does this have a referral to Ways and Means where that would be addressed?
No, it does not have a referral. Okay. And in looking at the amendment, if I may, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
What the amendment does is it's much simpler. It does replace the original measure. And it simplifies a great deal of things. Essentially, in quick review, it adds gray wolf to the list of other animals, blue, cougar, bobcat, red fox, or bear, that fall under this section of Oregon law as far as threats to humans and takings. So it does a little more dovetail in, actually. It is inserted into those statutes. I cannot speak for the Legislative Fiscal Office, but my anticipation would be it would be hard-pressed to come up with a large fiscal by adding an animal that is not yet prevalent in the states to the list of an existing statute for control of predators.
Good comments, Ray. We're going to stand at ease for a moment. David? Okay, you gentlemen, both of you gentlemen had an opportunity to review the proposed amendment and your thoughts in relation to what Representative Hunt had asked you previously.
Chair Krupp and Representative Hunt, I guess we would like to have the ability to take this back to our legal counsel and look this over with them and determine the exact impacts of it and if it meets the intent of what was being proposed, and we would also probably need to discuss this with the governor's office. We'd be make ourselves available to come back on Thursday to discuss this with you if you'd like to do that. And I guess one of the reasons I'd ask for a little bit of time is on page 2, line 8, it talks about determining procedures for disposal of barren cougar, and it shall be directed by the commission and the department. And I think the intent was to include gray wolf in that. Gray wolf is not listed there in bold as one of those species. So we would really want to look, have the opportunity to look this over real closely, make sure nothing was left out by accident, and we could provide you with those comments on Thursday.
Actually, I'm going to want you to provide me with comments on this tomorrow.
Okay.
Because if we need to have amendments drafted for this, if we need to have amendments drafted for this, then we need to get that done. So I need to have you get back to the sponsor of the bill tomorrow, so that we can have amendments drafted and be ready for. I'm going to go ahead and put this on the schedule for work session on Thursday, and we'll need to move forward. So if you could do that, I'd certainly appreciate it. Okay, and with that, we're going to close the work session on House Bill 3126. Thank you all very much for your patience. And we're going to open a work session on House Bill 2574. And we have some amendments, and I've asked Representative Butler to come forward and explain, along with Rod Harder, explain to us what these amendments do and how it affects the original proposal. Welcome, Representative. Thanks for coming.
Thank you very much, Chair Krupp, members of the committee. Thank you for the opportunity to come back and explain. This was the bill originally which said if there is a problem with errant cougar or bear, that it would come back to a local committee, which would include your local range or your game biologist and your local sheriff and your county commission, that would be called together to go ahead and examine the issue. Now, it's my understanding that there was a legislative fiscal that came in anticipating that we were going to be taking a lot of the errant animals that were basically without permits and just going out and wholesale hunting. The amendments which we have offered on this bill eliminate that fiscal by mandating that number one, it's only going to be on a very limited time and a limited basis that each county would ever be able to call their emergency group together to address the issue of these errant animals that would be destroying livestock and threatening other human life, and so they would only be meeting on a short-term arrangement, short-term basis, in a very few number of times. And finally, anyone that was harvesting under these kind of an arrangements, where there was in fact an emergency, would be buying the permits. So there is a fiscal, and that is, if there are errant animals that are creating problems locally in local jurisdictions, and the sheriff, county commission get together with the game biologist and determine that one, two, or three animals are the offender parties after the end of the hunting season, then the folks that harvest those animals will have to buy hunting permits, hunting licenses, and get the necessary permits to harvest those animals. So there's actually a positive fiscal to take care of those particular animals. So with that, I've commended Mr. Rod Harder to assist in any way we could to make sure that we address the needs of the local communities, and we've received information from the governor's office that this isn't going to be a problem for you local people. We'll handle all of those animals right here in Salem. I'd love to be able to gather them all up and turn them loose in this building.
Well, it is worthy of noting that the Senate has recently passed legislation that allows the trapping of raccoons and skunks within cities, and I find that most interesting in light of the discussions we're having regarding a little more serious matters.
Some of those furry creatures, Mr. Critter, or furry critters, Mr. Chair, Mr. Critter, furry creatures and critters, Mr. Chair, may have already been turned loose in this building.
Well, Mr. Chair, I might already relate to the good representative that there have been wolves in this building for many, many years.
Predatory animals, no doubt.
Okay.
Rod, your thoughts, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Rod Harder. Representative Butler, as he said, has asked me to work on this bill for him. And the amendments that we're discussing right now were moved into the bill at your last meeting. And so the only other amendments that we might bring forth today were those that we discussed with regards to the wolves coming out of all these bills or not having any more wolf bills. So we would suggest that on the second page in subparagraph 7, as it reads now, as used in this section, predatory animal means black bears, cougars, and wolves. We would suggest after black bears inserting and, after cougars inserting a period, and striking and wolves from the bill. And would offer that as a conceptual amendment. That takes wolves out. It only appears in there, as I read through it several times, I can only find wolves appearing once, and that should now make this a black bear and cougar bill and not a wolf bill.
And, Mr. Chair, I would commend this bill to all of the folks that I see represented on your committee today, that this is a local bill, local control bill. And I think all the folks that are here today are pretty much local control kinds of folks that would encourage these things to be administered and handled locally as opposed to encouraging them being handled by the state out of Salem. That really doesn't make good sense when we've got these animals on our doorsteps in rural Oregon 400 miles away.
Representative, I think there's a concern that we're, by doing this, we set up a whole bunch of mini ODFNWs. How do you respond to that,
Mr. Chair? I would respond to that by saying the following. First of all, the ODFNW does in fact establish the game policy and the management units throughout the entire state, and they do that from the top down driven, but also from the bottom up with regard to the game biologists providing the information, and that information is provided far enough in advance that we really don't know exactly what the hatch will be on some of the litters of cats and primarily cats that are the offending party. And with that, what we have then is we still have the game biologist, local game biologist, who is able to respond to that. And again, recognize this local committee is only called together by the local folks once there is a serious problem identified, and when you've really got errant animals following the necessary harvest. So what happens is that you still have the ODFNW. Again, the bottom-driven portion of it are the counts that are being done by that local game biologist. He is at the table now recognizing that there is a greater count than what he or she may have actually experienced at the onset of the season.
And Representative, he's still, everyone of this County Wildlife Board, as I read the bill, still has to work under the rules established by the Wildlife Commission.
Yes, Mr. Chair, the only thing that would be stretched, if you will, would just be the amount of the harvest. And what happens, again, in the current situation that we had in Baker County recently in Halfway, was that the harvest was over. I mean, all 92 animals had been harvested that were going to be harvested in that section of Oregon, and we still had excess animals, some that were hungry, some that were still predating on human beings as well as other animals. So in this particular instance, what we have is that this this only comes into effect after the end of the harvest or after there are other issues that are brought to the attention of the local folks, that the permits that are out aren't sufficient to take care of the animals that are still creating the difficulty. And I wouldn't really classify this as a 36 county wide group of many ODF&Ws. Again, these are the people from the ODF&W that set the original counts, and it raises to the level of a safety issue. That's why the sheriff is involved. We need the sheriff there and the local citizens who have been elected to be the members of the county commission to look after the public welfare and safety and well-being of their constituents are there at the table too. They're the folks that those folks at the table, the highest elected police enforcement officer in the state is there. That's the sheriff of that county. And then the second group that are elected commissioners, and they have one vote collectively. And finally, your ODF&W brings the best science to the table.
And Representative, in paragraph 2 of your original bill, and we're not deleting that, correct?
No, it's my understanding.
Lines 8 through 11.
Those lines
those remain.
Yes, sir.
Okay. The county governing body may set the numbers of predatory animals. And then on line number 10, and the manner in which persons may take predatory animals and may authorize persons to take predatory animals notwithstanding. So we're not going to abrogate any other current statute.
Mr. Chair, it's my understanding that this would allow then the taking by dogs, that dogs could tree. And under extreme circumstances, that happens right now.
Yeah,
and maybe Mr. Harder would like to respond to that, Mr. Chair.
Now, Mr. Chair, if you read on the amendment in the Dash 2 amendments, limits each county that exercises this option to 5 animals per species per year. So they can have multiple, they can form the committee multiple times, but they can't exceed that 5 animal per species limit.
And Rod, this would be over and above the limits that are already set. Like in the Baker County unit where they had 92, this would be 5 more than 92 in that particular area, correct?
Mr. Chair, that is correct in that particular area. However, I think it's fair to point out that only once have the quotas on cougars been reached in the state.
True.
And since the passage of Measure 8.
So this is basically expanding, as you said, the number of problem animals that are taken by convening the County Wildlife Board and looking at this issue and saying we need more control. And it's going to be the local folks deciding that in accordance with all the other ORSs that are still on the books here.
Mr. Chair, we believe that the best science still is that the ODF&W is a repository is still the best science dealing with wild animals. The concern that we have is that much of that information, that right now the decision is pretty much top-down driven related to as to what happens, but the population is pretty much bottom-up fed into the system, and the concern that we have is that bottom-up approach needs to include, particularly when there are problem and errant animals above and beyond the quotas that may have already been set or after the seasons are closed. That's when we need to have some local control, and that's what this is. And again, that doesn't exclude or preclude the ODF&W from participating. It invites and mandatorily requires that the ODF&W be at the table. And Mr. Chair, I think that each one of us, if we were to go home to our respective districts and to our respective counties and meet our game biologist, we'd find that they're one of us. They're pretty good people, pretty common people. They really understand the problem, and they would like to have in their ability to go ahead and bring the local. They have to include the local elected officials as much as they possibly can. They'd like to have them at the table, helping them formulate the decisions. Because in the next year, they're going to have them at their side again as they're working through the issues of establishing the criteria of how many takes should be. Or harvest should be taken in that particular area.
Okay. Members, questions?
Representative Hunt, yes.
Follow up on one question. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to clarify one thing that I think I understood Mr. Harder to say, that the issue of numbers is not likely to be so much the issue, although it would in those limited cases where the number cap had been exceeded or met allow for five additional takes beyond that number. It sounds like the manner is more the issue than the number is likely to be an issue. Is that a fair assessment?
Mr. Chair, as Representative... Mr. Chair, Representative Hunt, as Representative Butler pointed out earlier, it is already legal to use dogs to take cougar and bear if they're causing damage. And so one of the original concerns of Fish and Wildlife, as I understood it, was a large fiscal in that the original bill would have allowed unlimited taking, and that eventually could have impacted on the number of licenses that were sold. But when we limited them to five, we're looking at probably 14 to 20 counties, I would think, because all the counties in the state are not going to put this into effect. And we believe that the way we have amended the bill, now the take is going to be minimal. There will be certain circumstances where dogs will be used where they can't be used at the moment. This bill would allow volunteers to do this, to replace some of the agents that are being paid to do it. And it only does, it doesn't say that specifically, it just allows that under the predator laws, which is already existing law. So I do not believe, at least from our perspective, that the manner of take outweighs anything else in the bill.
Mr. Chair, if I could just make a response. I think that certainly it opens the avenue to the manner of take, but more than anything, this bill was directed at trying to make sure that there was local involvement in the overall taking issue, and that local involvement should involve the elected officials locally, together with our game biologists.
Okay. Hearing no further questions, thank you very much. Anyone else here who would like to be invited by the chair to testify on 2574 as amended? Hearing none. Members, I'd like to propose a simple conceptual amendment, and that is what Rod Harder had, with Representative Butler, had asked us to do in terms of, on page 2 of this bill, on line number 7, I would like to conceptually remove the words "and wolves" and insert the word "and" after removing the after the word "bears," which means you remove the comma, and then put a period after the word "cougars." And to do that, we have to suspend the rules as a conceptual to offer up the conceptual amendment, and then we can move the bill from there.
Mr. Chair, we suspend the rules for the purposes of adding a conceptual amendment.
Thank you.
Bill 2574.
A.
25A,
Thank you.
All right. Representative Hunt has moved that we suspend the rules for the purposes of adding a conceptual amendment to House Bill 2574A. What's the word I'm looking for, Ray?
Objection.
A dissension.
No, we don't allow dissension in this committee.
Contention.
We allow objection on occasion. All right. Hearing none. So ordered. Chair would entertain a motion to amend the bill conceptually.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I move we amend the bill conceptually.
And your amendment would be to remove the words and wolves on line 7 on page 2, correct?
Exactly what I was just about
to say. And insert the word "and" on page 2, line 7, after the word "bears."
Yes, sir.
And after the word "cougar," insert a period.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Members, it has been so moved. Discussion? Hearing none, is there objection? So ordered. Chair would entertain a motion to move the bill.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Smith.
Well, I guess make your motion first. I just wonder if it had a referral.
It does not.
The fiscal statement says that it will require action by the Joint Committee on Ways and Means.
The Ray, would you explain how the amendment removes any referral requirement?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I conferred with Legislative Fiscal on the issue, and in the amendment, beginning on line 16, where it states, in line 7 after the period insert, predatory animal has no relation and does not have the meaning given that term in ORS 610.002. That actually separates a predatory animal listed under this bill from the predatory animal statute and gives it its own definition of predatory animal, which is specific only to this statute, and according to Legislative Fiscal, really removes any requirement to send it to Ways and Means.
And this was at your interpretation of your conversation with Legislative Council, correct?
This is what I was told by Legislative Council, was it does not need a referral to Ways and Means with the amendment.
Okay, Representative Smith, your question?
I just want to question, then, would they not reissue the fiscal to reflect that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, they will be reissuing a fiscal prior to the bill going to the floor, and they'll reissue the fiscal based upon those amendments which are finalized, which would include the Dash 2 amendments, which were already brought into the bill, and the conceptual amendments, which will be combined with the Dash 2 amendment prior to House Bill 2574 is amended going to the floor.
Thank you very much.
So in it is likely to reflect, I think, as Representative Butler stated, it's likely to reflect actually a small positive fiscal, actually.
Thank you.
So, good point. Okay. We still need a motion.
I move 2574 to the as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, members, it has been moved. Discussion, Representative Beyer.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I'm looking at this very close, but I'm going to be a no vote on it. I certainly haven't received any outcry from my county commissioners wanting this kind of authority, and maybe now I might. We have the infamous Bill Dwyer sitting there, and he hadn't contacted me, so
I can't imagine. Must have a bag full.
I really tend to see this as just one more layer of bureaucracy that people are going to have to kind of sort out and figure out what the laws are, and I have some concerns about that. So I'm a no.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think the whole discussion around this and the hearing we had previously and today at least seem to have illustrated some concern that I hope ODFMW does pick up and follow up on, at least in terms of the numbers in some areas. Hopefully, there's other legislation moving that will be signed by the governor that will address the manner issues. My basic concern about, I guess I'm not a purist when it comes to local control. I think there are some things that are very appropriately left to local governments. I spoke on the floor, I think it was last week, about the food labeling bill. That's one. I think there are certain things that are more appropriate for federal agencies, certain things that are more appropriate for state agencies, and certain things that make a lot of sense for county and cities to implement. I guess I agree with Representative Butler that ODFMW is the best repository of science. And as I look at the counties that I know, I just don't sense that that's going to be the best place for these decisions to be made, especially since there is an option to expand the numbers, to expand the manner in which these takes are made, and to authorize persons to do so. So I hope there are ways that this can be taken care of with ODFMW as the regulatory agency. And I'm open to statutory changes in that direction, and maybe it's regulatory changes, and hopefully other legislation moving will address a piece of the problem. But in terms of this vote, I just can't support it as it is now.
I would make mention that a valid concern in terms of ODFW being the scientific repository, I would say, though, as I understand this concept, that they are still clearly at the table, and I think their input will still clearly be part of the process of local county governing bodies setting whatever limits there would be there. So I think the science and the expertise will still be involved. I really do. And I think that gives me some comfort at this level that clearly the folks from ODFNW who know this process and know the wildlife biologists are still going to be here, and they're putting a great deal of their effort and energy into this as they are an integral part of this effort. Senator Smith.
Thank you, Chair Krupp. In reference to Representative Beyer, I haven't heard a large outcry from my county commissioners from Multnomah County either, who I'm sure would not be creating a wildlife board. Being said, I have lived in Eastern Oregon and understand this is definitely an urban-rural issue and goes to the underlying. I'm very interested in seeing the new fiscal. I will vote yes today, but I reserve the right to vote no if that fiscal. I do not want to make any impacts on our local government. Right. I do believe in local control, and they do understand these issues. So I just want to clarify that.
Okay. All right. Further discussion? All right. Would the clerk call the roll, please?
Representative Nelson.
Aye.
Representative Hunt.
No.
Representative Smith.
Aye.
Representative Beyer.
No.
Representative Worth.
Absent.
Representative Gilman.
Aye.
Chair Krupp.
Aye. House Bill 2574 is hereby passed to the floor with a do-pass recommendation as amended. Close a work session on that. Members, thank you very much. Thank you, members of the audience, for being very patient, and I always appreciate our thoughtful discussions. Members, thank you for your patience. It's good. We're adjourned for today.
Could you tell me? Excuse me.
Can you give me, like,